Blog Talk Radio.
Back for the second half. I hope everybody can hear me. Put up a heart in the chat room. Make sure everything's working, please. I do have a caller. I'm going to go ahead and roll them back on. Y'all were quick.
Hello.
And hi. And
hi,
this is
Mark California Peace.
Mark, hi.
Namaste.
I'm sorry to have the interruption there.
It happens. I have a BTR show, as you know, so it comes with the territory.
Yeah. Hang on. I think I'm going to have to put a new link up in the chat room because I have a feeling that they may have to migrate to this new show here. Unfortunately, I haven't quite figured out what I'm doing with this yet. So hang on just one second, please. Oh, no.
Yeah. Gary said that he's calling back in, so watch for his number.
Okay, I'm having switchboard issues, so.
I know, that happens.
He's lost. Not the smoothest transition in the world.
Now, I mean, there's a lot of talk as to what causes the most problems with the switchboards and the radio shows and so forth. Is it, one, they are technical problems, computer and server issues, or two, is it all the energetic shifts and magnetic things going on the planet, or is it, three, on our high vibrational shows, is it the energy that we are all putting out collectively as a group that's causing the problems with their computer connections and so forth?
I think it's more likely that I'm just not doing it right.
No. What I'm saying is, in a lot of our shows, there's one problem or another happen. It's commonplace. And sometimes it's different problems. It's not always the same thing.
Okay, I'm back, if you can hear me.
Welcome back, Gary.
Hi, Gary. We can hear you. I'm not sure that I've got everybody where they can hear me in the chat room, because I have a feeling that there's a whole new URL involved, and I'm trying to get that information to people, and I'm not having any luck.
Yeah, here, let me post it in the chat room. It's just a new link, and everyone has to click the link to get into the chat room to receive the sound. That's how that works. So if they're not receiving the sound, just click the link and get back into the chat room, and that'll happen.
I am going to have to pay for the better service because I can't do this.
So anyway, where were we? 9/11.
Yeah, right. What I was talking about is, I think, I've been volunteering with the Red Cross for many years, and even though I wasn't called to go to New York City myself personally, but I did a lot of work here in the state, I definitely felt, you know, being a light worker and so forth, you know, a lot of the mental and emotional stuff, which I think all of us felt. And I remember specifically on the one-year anniversary, I was at City Hall with many of the other people that had been there or organizations and so forth, and I could feel the shift. And at the time, you know, more than just the financial problems I was having, but other, you know, light worker work, I was living in the shelter in the city. And part of the reason for that was for me to feel that connection with that state of consciousness, the lower state of consciousness for humanity. And then I could feel myself connecting energetically, consciousness levels, all the way up the strata to the highest level of human consciousness. And I could feel connecting with all of life on the planet, but especially humanity, all the way up. And I had never done something specifically like that before. And it was definitely that life, an opening and true expansion experience that guided the rest of my journey up to this point today.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, each of us has our own experience that led up to 9/11 and then kind of led us away from it again. But it's still kind of the elephant in the corner.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm curious, the question I want to ask most people is, okay, you know how you feel about things now. You know how you felt then. You know how you feel now. You know what's changed in the interim. Is how you're feeling now, and has that transition from where you were to where you are, has that helped you or has that hurt you?
I'll tell you
and
what.
Is it helping the world around you?
Yes, yeah. I can sure vouch for that one. It sure does. It all is a whole lot better in my world than it was back when 9/11 really happened. In many, many, many ways, in terms of my own spiritual growth. Now, people can look at me and say, you know, what do you got going on in your life that's so whippy? You know, what do you got that's so exciting? Well, I've got this little thing called peace, you know. It's peace of stomach, you know, screw peace of mind. That's overrated. You know, and, you know, there are little tools. There have been little spiritual gifts that have been laid at my feet along this journey. And one of them, and a big one, and a recent one, has been Ho'oponopono. And I was hit with this Ho'oponopono energy last night and applying it to 9/11. You know, and I woke up this morning and put on my Facebook, I hereby declare officially International Ho'oponopono Day, 9/11. And I got quite a pretty good response, you know. And Ho'oponopono, for those who are not familiar with it, it's a simple little tool. And I call it a tool because it's something that helps, you know. When you have something that helps you out, you know, I call it a tool, you know. And it's kind of a threefold simplicity thing. First of all, it is extremely simple to do. And yet, despite its simplicity, Ho'oponopono has very broad applications, and it can become increasingly apparent to more than one person, increasingly apparent the more a person uses it. It's like riding a bicycle. The more you do it, the better at it you get. And, you know, those little sayings, you know, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you, return us back to zero point. It helps us remove the focus from what we don't want and all the emotional charge around it, like the whole 9/11 controversy to begin with. And it returns us back to the zero point, where we can then focus on what we wish to experience and take it from there. You know, if we create everything in our reality, which everything points in the direction that we do, then we can also recreate it. I mean, we're talking about recreating things, we're creating things anew. That is what we're doing when we do that. You know, and at what point do we put this all in the big so what, with the real what being, what do you do from here on? What do we do from this point forward? Because we can change it, and that is how we do it. And everybody down through time has tried to tell us this. All the avatars have, you know, to become the change. And Ho'oponopono is a simple little tool that really helps us to do that. And that was why I was hit with this Ho'oponopono thing. You know, I had a spiritual mentor that was a Huna practitioner, and I learned about Ho'oponopono before it became fashionable to do so, you know, so it was kind of cool that I had this kind of under my belt, if you will, this tool, you know. And you say it to yourself. You say it to yourself. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And that is an act of forgiveness for yourself for seeing the world as anything other than, you know, beautiful and fixed and whole and perfect. And the more I do it, the better at it I get, and the better it works, and the more peace I get, you know. And that's the stuff, you know. And now I can look at places like Ground Zero, and I can see at Ground Zero this portal of love that the world has focused its intent on and for many years now, and see this love coming up and through that portal. Just like I did in Louisiana, Venice, where at the Gulf, where all the eyes and the focus and the intent of the world and the love from the world was focused on the Gulf, I saw evidence of that in this simple little place called the Lotus Marsh. And, you know, when we walk a spiritual walk and see spiritual things begin to happen to us. And spiritual things are always very symbolic and very personal. You know, they have very little to do with what's apparent, you know. And all that does is just diffuse the things that the powers that pretend try to throw at us to keep us fighting amongst ourselves.
Right.
I agree with that.
Right,
you know?
Right, exactly. Now, one thing also is that many of us on the planet, especially those of us that are awakened, have always had the inner knowing and feeling that beyond the patriotism, but that we need to work as one unified planet. And I think many of these experiences, earthquakes, you know, other cataclysmic events, are starting to pull people out of their patriotism to one country and working together through their love and compassion focused on that particular place with whatever the event happened.
I'm going to put my 2 cents in here.
Go ahead.
I'd like to put my 2 cents in here. The first thing is I think that the whole Ho'oponopono idea is excellent. I think we all need to apply it as many times as necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that different people have different roles to play in regards to 9/11 and the other situations that it helped reveal to us. And I think some of those roles might be a little more active than they are passive. I think it's not just a matter of going back and doing the forgiveness routine, although that's valuable for everyone. Some people need to, when they come out of that routine, realize that they have a responsibility to work through the things that led to that problem and get us to a place where we don't have that problem anymore. And that takes an active involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with having that active involvement. If you feel called to do it, you need to do it.
Right.
There's also, I lost my train of thought because I heard myself talking. I don't know why that works so well, but it's wonderful.
Funny how that works.
You weren't bilocating?
No, that wasn't me bilocating. No, we were talking about that earlier on Skype. And I said that I thought it was overrated, but really what it is I've only managed to bilocate a couple of times in my life, and I didn't have control over either one of them, and they were both so trippy, I just kind of don't want to do it if I can avoid it.
Yeah, been there, done that. How about you, Gary?
Oh, I don't even go there. I get a headache. My mind's like, it can be like a bad neighborhood already, you know. You don't go, don't go there alone or something.
We have another member calling in here, another person on our party. Dream Master is on the line also. So we've got good conversation now.
Oh, yeah, I love doing that on my show.
Good round table. How are you doing, Keeter?
Hey,
I'm
Dream
doing
Master.
Well, thanks.
Lovely and blessings.
Hey, Gary, you as well. It's healing, right?
Yep. Doing for everyone. Doing great. We'll have to talk sometime.
Yes, we do. Thank you. I just felt that I'd call in. So here I am. And you posed the question on how 9/11 affected you in your spiritual growth.
Yes.
I think that's what you were asking, Keeter.
That's right.
Now. Yeah, okay. Now, for me, personally, this is only my own expression on this and what I've taken out of it, is we are living in a world that I see right now in chaos, almost, most consider it as being that, And a lot of light workers and way showers healing are feeling thrown around right now and up against a wall and not quite sure where their paths might be going. And with the light workers and way showers, there are many that I've been noticing that have lost themselves in the light, if I can say, and that the 9/11 happening, and this was 9 years ago, certainly not in the here and now, but with the remembrance of that occurrence, it's bringing us back to the past. Now, we need reflection on that negative happening in our past, in our history, and acknowledging and being aware that there are negative forces at work as we speak. And being who we are, we tend to be subjected more heavily with these energies. And the sheeples or lemmings, like I like to refer them to as, can't really see the trees through the forest, or the forest through the trees or whatnot, either way. But it's a rebalancing of the fact that this negative energy does exist, and we cannot lose ourselves and lose our grounding and lose our focus on where we are and who we are in this here and now. And this is maybe...
Yeah, it's good to notice it because
negative.
It gives a contrast. It's good to notice these things that we perceive as negative because that's to give us contrast to let us know, oh, that's not what we want. We want this and to focus on what we do wish to experience rather
right.
than... So that's a good thing, and it's simply just to recognize it as contrast, and then to place
Egan,
focus on something. Yeah,
Max Egan a couple of weeks ago on his radio program had put out there a pretty well pointed discussion of exactly what was just discussed about. That some light workers seem to have gotten lost in the light. And I think he didn't put it quite so diplomatically. And I think there is a definite point to be said about that because the powers that pretend are using those who would go to the extreme route of peace. They're counting on that. They're counting on it delaying action. And just to be aware of it, not to say that you need to change anything that you're doing, just be aware of it and consider whether you need to change something that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I would put that out there for consideration as well. But my question to you is, what did it cause you to change about your spiritual practice? Okay, it woke you up maybe to a few things, but did the events at 9/11 and the things you learned as a result of those events and the things that came out afterwards, did that actually cause you to change something about yourself? And was that change for the better or for the worse?
Yeah.
If you ask me,
yes.
If I may be so bold to say first,
go for it.
I'd like to hear. Okay. It reminded me, because I was going through some situations at that time myself, that I kind of like forgot what was going on around me. And I was more focused on what was happening in my own life, and which was tumultuous, a little bit chaotic, let's say. And it brought me back to the realization, like, wow, I'm nothing compared to, what's going. And I can go further with that in any case. But it brought me back to reflect upon where I am, and it made me, you know, it made me think. And I did change what I was doing with myself in my own life, and it made me you know, be more appreciative of where I am, and you know, and it helped me grow that way, and yeah, you know, it. But like I was mentioning earlier in chat, you know, we have to deal with what occurs with us at the time that it occurs, in order for it not to be a problem or a situation that we need to deal with down the road, you know. And if we're able to do that, then it clears us for more work that's in front of us, and you know, and this is again only the beginning. And,
yeah.
You know, that's for me. So how about you, Gary?
Well, again, getting back to Ho'oponopono, to that energy. Mm-hmm. One of the most important elements of using Ho'oponopono, and it's something I'm going to emphasize here, and it's about having expectations for an outcome. You know, for instance, you know, if someone engages in the Ho'oponopono methods and they sit back and they say, okay, I want this particular thing to happen in my life right now. That's not the way Ho'oponopono works. Using Ho'oponopono is not the equivalent of ordering something, you know, from a fast food restaurant or something. You know, it's engaging the Ho'oponopono method is to erase and then to invite inspiration and guidance from higher source to inspire us as to what to do next. Okay? When you use Ho'oponopono, you let go, you know, and you don't attempt to dictate, you don't attempt to direct. You let go of your ego's expectations and allow yourself to be carried down the gentle stream of love, okay? Because love is really all we are, you know? And that's that. And then, you know, once we quiet ourselves, then you know, source can provide answers for us. You know, we can't listen to source until we get quiet. You know,
right?
You know, we can't hear till we can hear, and we can't see till we can see. And it's there. All we need to do is get quiet enough to listen.
Yep.
And we can create. We can focus collectively when two or more are together, focusing in with the same intent. It's amazing, and we're constantly surprised and dazzled as to what manifests, and we see it more and more. All of us have, as we begin to learn about these, you know, quantum physics and law of attraction and these newer informations that have come since 9/11,
right.
And apply them, and see the results. You know, we've become the scientists to our own life, which is really the whole reason why we're all here. That's why we signed up for this, and we're remembering that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's back to square one, back to zero point, letting it all go, and the powers that then don't like that.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they want us riled up and wrapped around the axle, fighting amongst one another, so they can continue to do what they've been doing. And that is taking away our power. The power is within each and every one of us, which is greater than anything they got. All we need to do is be mindful of it.
Right.
And if I could say, Gary, and very well said. And if I can say is, yeah, they want to absorb and feed off our energies, because it's a little more tricky to get. And they become more tricky to get it, and they will come up with some very interesting strategies to absorb it. And you know, it's like a trophy on the wall. They want the big trophy, and a lot of us are that big trophy. And they will deceive, and they will decept, and with my experiences, I tell you. They do many, many different things. And for us to be aware of the attacks upon us, and not in this 3D physicality, but in the other dimensional realms, you know, they are trying. And they are losing their grip. They've already lost it in 3D physicality. and now they have to go further into it, and they have to try to outsmart the smart.
Well, they can do whatever they can do whatever they will. You know, they are free
they
to create the reality that they choose. I'm free to create the reality that I choose. Okay.
Exactly.
And that's our job, you know, to create the reality that each of us choose while we allow the realities that others create to exist also. And the byproduct of that is harmony. And that's not what they want, you know, but that's something that works, you know. And I focus on what works. And I also focus on that power that's greater than anything they got, and each of us have it. You know, all we need to do is be mindful of that and create a world that is really safe. That is really a general loving world that's magical and infinite and worthy of us. We can't.
I got Gary on a roll.
Yeah, I'm on a roll. I'll get off the roll and shut up.
I wanted to give a little bit of love to the chat room here because a couple of good things were brought up in there, and I'd like to address those real briefly. Marcus wrote in here, so 9/11 was a good thing. You wouldn't say that if your relatives were in there. Well, no, it wasn't a good thing. However, good things can come from it. Good things can come out of everything. I do tarot readings, and there are cards in the tarot deck, like death, that everybody looks at it and goes, oh, no, this is awful. No, not necessarily, because there are other interpretations. There are other opportunities. All things always carry an opportunity in them. It's just the trick is to find that opportunity. And so 9/11 actually was an enormous opportunity. It was an opportunity on both sides, both positive and negative.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that, most definitely.
Look at how we have all evolved since 9/11, all of us.
Yes.
Yeah, need we
say
more?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And Isamara said, 9/11 reminded me that I live in an illusory world. What I considered reality disappeared in a moment. When things like this happened, my only shelter is inside.
Yep.
And there I feel safe no matter what happens. That's a great takeaway. To understand that the 3D world around you can literally turn over in an instant. But as long as you have that center point inside that you can go to and you can be secure there, that you can ride it out. So, yeah, that was another good insight. Which brings me to the next thing I'd like to explore on this topic, and that is of healing. How do we heal what happened? How do we heal the wounds that occurred to our country? How do we heal the wounds that occurred to our consciousness and our trust in others? How do we heal those wounds that may have occurred to us personally, whether or not we had an interaction there? But I know all of us had something come up that disquieted us from our own insides as we looked at how we reacted to things. Maybe we went straight into judgmentalism, for example. How do we go about healing those things?
Again, the Ho'oponopono comes to my mind. I love you. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Back to zero point, back to creating from that moment forward.
Right, exactly. Living in the moment, in the quantum moment, working from our true quantum nature, and integrating into our conscious awareness all of who and what we truly are, which is our multidimensional soul, our higher self, our oversoul, and through that, expanding our conscious awareness and inner knowing with our oneness with all of creation, and really working from that oneness, from that true quantum state of our true beingness, moving beyond the dualistic mental and emotional patterns and moving beyond that into our true infinite quantum nature and oneness with creator consciousness and beyond and so forth.
We're
functioning from a totally different perspective of beingness.
We and that which surrounds us are not separate. Okay, we are one with all of it. Everything. Not just everyone, but everything. we are related to it all. We're connected to it all. You know, they're to acknowledge, and to acknowledge that, to acknowledge that quantum self, to acknowledge your mind, not intellect, but mind. Okay, to acknowledge those things, and when we've done that, that's when somebody is going to say that we are enlightened. You know,
yeah, and
welcome to
and
the kingdom of heaven, kids. You know, without hate, without testing, without judgment, that we simply are, has allowed this reality that we call real, which is really out of the power of intangibility, out of this inertness and infinite possibilities, out of that action, and hold it in its form and call it matter. We are doing it. We do it with our mind, okay? And science's point is proving it, you know, daily, that we're doing it. We're doing it. As much as we want to get on the cross and cry victim and play victim, we're all doing it.
Yep, and like Peter was asking.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, okay, like Peter was asking in regards to, you know, how we can bring a healing to it. And it's, yeah, the realization of where we are and who we are in this here and now. And this is, you know, we live in a very finite time, and time is linear in 3D. And being aware of that, and not forgetting our place within it, that we are here only, you know, only for a minute temporary amount of time, and what we do with what we have, with what we have to do it with in this here and now is very important, and for others to see what we do with what we have and how we do it, we become quote unquote role models. To those that are seeking and are in anxiety, and if we hold strong as we should, and we do, then that will give them comfort in their knowing where they are, and even though that they might not understand the whole picture of outside of this 3D realm. If we can hold true within ourselves, then they can see that, and it will bring them strength and comfort within themselves. That's what I wanted to say in regards to the healing of it, you know, if that makes sense.
I think that there is another issue having to do with healing that I don't know if people just aren't thinking of it or if it's just something that is unthinkable to them. And it was kind of touched on briefly in the chat room with the question of good and bad. How can you tell the difference?
There's no such
and
thing.
And then it went into, can you tell me, you know,
and the
question of the soul being transcendental to that. Something that occurs to me is there's two things that came out of 9/11 that really need to be healed. And that is us versus them thinking, the duality,
yep.
Those who are stuck in duality.
Polarization. Yes.
Right.
The polarization.
Exactly.
Because that is something that the powers that pretend use against us. The divide and conquer strategy is extremely powerful. And I see all over everywhere division, division, division. Even amongst those who are saying the same things. It's like, okay, I'm saying the same thing as you are, but I have my little website and I have my little projects over here and you have yours over there. And no, I'm not going to come play with you.
Right.
That's one of them. But
what nonsense. Yeah.
It's absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the hate mongering that we keep seeing, this whole thing about putting the mosque on the ground near the Ground Zero area.
I happen to think it's a pretty good idea.
I think it could be a really good idea until you research who it was that had suggested doing that,
who wanted it done. The idea is the concept is to keep us all fighting amongst ourselves again. You know, they knew what they were doing when they proposed it. You know, they knew that it would be off to the races and they'd have all kinds of fun with that. You know, sure.
Exactly.
Right.
So while it's probably an awesome idea to do that eventually, I think we're going to have to say no on this particular go because of how it was proposed, and we'll start over. It
just
really needs to be an active thing with everybody in there, you know.
Right.
And back off for a while and,
rise
and
above.
Let that one settle. But yes, rise above it. Don't go into the hate. Don't go into the into anything, you know, pointing fingers.
No. That's
but just realize there may have been an agenda.
Yeah.
Recognize
as light workers, we need to become fully mindful of there is no such thing as good or bad. We are judging things too superficially that way. There are things that there are things that will evolve, and there are things that may delay our evolution. They're neither good nor bad, nor is there anything that's going to punish us because we've done one or the other. It's to rise and pull back away from that duality, from that polarization, on every level, at every turn. We play, you know, that, who put that in place? We did. Who created that? We did. The beautiful part about that is we can recreate it.
It's our responsibility.
That's why we need to live in neutrality.
Yes, exactly. It is our responsibility.
This is our responsibility.
Yep.
The other part, and after I get this part out, I've got another caller to roll on. The other part of the healing that I think that we are responsible for, and this is going to probably get some people's hackles up, we need to heal the powers that pretend.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
We have to
because we are all one, including them.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And if we don't heal them, we're just postponing the inevitable problem again.
Okay.
It'll come back.
Nobody else will. Yep.
Exactly. So we have to heal them. How? How can we look at someone who has done this monstrous thing and heal them?
Ho'oponopono.
And heal ourselves for how we feel. Oh, yes, ho'oponopono. But practically speaking, we have to do something. We can do that with ourselves. We have to do something to teach them that this is what they need to do for themselves.
Yeah,
we have
give
to
them
teach,
a realization.
Teach them.
All right. Can I say something?
Go ahead.
One of the things that we can do as the spokespeople of the light workers and the way shores on the planet is start doing what we're already doing is connecting all the light workers, ray shores that are communicators, have radio shows and other means of mass communication and work collectively together and infusing the collective consciousness of humanity to raise their vibration, raise their consciousness, help them to be more and more awakened, which we're already doing, but do it in a more direct, immediate way so that it will spread to them. Because, yes, all these individuals you're talking about, they are still part of the collective consciousness. They think that they're more powerful than us, but they're not. Because we have a collective group that is growing and expanding exponentially, and they cannot stop it. They think they can, but they can't.
Yeah, but if they close their eyes to it and they close their ears, then we'll never be heard. It's a very, very, very subtle manner in which
we'll
have to
be careful here because all of that is a creation that we're all creating. You know, these are Rembrandts that we're painting right here, and we don't necessarily need to do that. Attract. We plant the seeds. We put the word to the street. You know that my message that I've ever tried to say ever since I got back on the radio after 25 years of being out of it. Since I got back on and with the message and the shows that I wanted to do, all I wanted to say is the power is within you. You are that which you call God. You are part of the way the universe has become aware of itself. Each individual, all of us. And that power is greater than anything they got individually. Okay, now when we put that together collectively, look out. Mindfully. Look what we've done. Look what we've created largely by default for lifetimes. Okay. Now, once we put a little thought into it, and a little realization that this power is within us, look what we can create already. You know, within our personal lives, and then we can see that, and we can also intend for the world. You know, we can influence everything. We can influence outcomes. We can influence the past. We can influence the future. We can influence time itself. We are responsible for these things, just like Ketter says. We are responsible for all these things.
Right.
And to acknowledge
whatever
that.
Whatever is within your power is also within your responsibility.
Of course.
There are no unbalanced things. There are no powers that have no responsibility, and there are no responsibilities that have no powers.
Just like Spider-Man. You know, with great power comes great responsibility.
Right.
Yeah.
We lost our other caller. I hope they call back in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Gary. Think about when Spider-Man first started decades ago.
Yeah. Yep, 1963.
Right.
Yep.
And, you know, and if I can say, the time in here, in this now that we all share, I don't think has ever been experienced in humanity, ever. And I'm grateful and appreciative that I'm here right now, even though it might seem quite chaotic and in turmoil. We have an opportunity to as a collective, of course, to make a difference. And this is the time.
Right. And one thing which has really helped to propel us to where we are now is that there are so many of us, like Workers' Way Showers, that on a soul level have experienced and assisted with ascension in different parts of our planet Earth at different times and civilizational periods and so forth, as well as ascension processes on other planets. But that was necessary to have as many experienced souls here incarnate right now. Because it is so rapid, so fast, which is the unusual, but it is important that we all work collectively together, as we are doing, to bring about this change, which we are doing successfully.
Yes.
And when you look at it from a future perspective, looking back, they see that it's already done. We're just completing the process to bring it to that highest potential.
You know, there's a thing that I close all of my prayers with. Instead of saying amen, because that's actually harkens back to another religion that I don't particularly want to invoke. what I say instead now is, as it already is.
There you go.
It's already done. It's already there.
Yeah, which is what amen really means. It means so
be
it.
Well, it should mean.
Yeah.
It should be, but if you look at the etymology of it, the root word actually goes back to the Egyptian religion. So I don't want to confuse things.
Yeah, right.
I want to be very precise in what I'm trying to do.
Hey, you know
the
what?
Question...
No,
go ahead.
I just want to say, you know what? It's really quite an interesting time right now at my time, Eastern Standard, at 6:45 p.m., is the four of us are sharing and expanding in a manner with our own individual expressions that the just within our connecting in this now, the expansion is incredible. And when we all hang up, it's going to ripple out. And, just in this moment in this now, right there. There you go.
Right.
Just wanted to say.
And all the listeners that are listening live are all part of it, all their higher selves, over souls, and so forth, as well as everyone that is listening to the archives, or because remember, we're in the eternal now. Past, present, and future is now. So all the archive listeners are listening now. They just aren't doing it now. But are they?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
It all comes together.
Yep.
It all
you know, you can't,
intention,
you can't turn back with already being.
which is
no, but
right.
I can't. We can recreate it from where we are. That's the beautiful part about that is, we can begin from where we are, back to 0 point, and then go forward. And you know, when you say things like, you know, at what point do we put this all in the big so what? Drop it, forget it, turn away from it, and then create from where we are. People don't like that. What about this? What about all these injustices? You know, what about all this? You know, you can say that anything from 9/11 to the persecution of the Native Americans, to the Jews, to whatever that had happened in history. We can say that. At what time do we just let it go and just go forward, you know? Mm. How insensitive of you. I've heard that, you know. How insensitive of you. You know, you're not going to take into mind all this stuff. And then, quack, quack, quack.
Oh, yeah, Gary.
It's no.
Apparently I hold no emotion, you know.
Right,
whatever.
Right. You know? but they don't, what they don't realize is they're creating from all that discord and creating more discord, you know. It's about letting
exactly.
It go. Yeah.
Perpetuating it. It's like I've always said about racism in this country, is if people would stop talking about racism, it would go away.
Of course.
There's too much money to be made off of it, though.
You know, and Cater, things are so simple, though, but people make them so complex.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing, right? Like, it's not.
That's why
not
Ho'oponopono works, because it's simple. You know, mm-hmm. My mind can take anything and make all kinds of whippy, neat stuff out of it. But if I just let it go and just let it be simple, it seems to work better.
Okay, Gary. I have a question for you. The people who most need to do Ho'oponopono, now I realize this is a judgment on my part. However, it's probably pretty close to accurate. The people that most need to be performing Ho'oponopono on themselves, who need to be going within and forgiving themselves and so on and healing their wound, are the ones that are least likely to think they need to and the least likely to actually do it. How do we reach these people and make sure that they understand that this is something that benefits them and get them to want to do it?
Guess what? We're doing it. Okay, yeah. We're putting the word out there in shows like this.
Yeah, but how?
One of them.
Do you think they're listening
planting
to
seeds?
It with the... Do you think they're listening to it with the kind of mind that would be receptive to that idea?
I think not.
Let me kind of go back on my experience. I didn't achieve this spiritual awareness or awakening or whatever without somebody planting seeds in my awareness. And at the time when the seeds were planted, they may or may not have been something that I thought was really great at the time. But the seed was planted. Eventually it germinated and grew, and I took a hold of it, or took a hold in me, whatever. That is an answer to your question. That's one answer. Another answer is, what person, who is the best person to do Ho'oponopono? Yourself. Each one of us. That's the best person. And it begins here. You know? And, you know, we're talking about it here. So that's another way we got to get the word out into the streets. That's what we're doing. We're doing it.
I agree. I'm kind of brainstorming here. I'm looking still back at the question of 9/11 and who all was behind it. Let's not even get into pointing fingers, but we know somebody was behind it. We know somebody has culpability in either the execution of it, the planning of it, or the cover-up of it. You know, there's so many facets to this, it would take longer than 2 hours if we'd done nothing but go over the stuff. But there are a number of people who are involved in this, and they all have some level of culpability, some level of guilt, some level of needing to heal that. How would you, how would you reach out to those people? Not in a passive way, but is there some way to actually reach out to them in a way that will make a difference now?
Well, most good ideas are simple, and most messages are simple. And that's what I try to do, is just keep it simple as I go. Because let somebody else's intellect, you know, take it and run with it if they want. I got to keep it simple, and I do it for me, primarily. You know, like you were saying, Ketter, you know, you were listening to yourself speak and you got derailed, you know. I that's why I speak, so I can hear myself.
Well, I was hearing feedback. Somebody's mic was picking up the retransmit, and it was looping back to me.
Okay.
Okay, let's flash forward here in our last few minutes. Let's flash forward and for a year. Let's take we're at September 11, 2011 now. What's changed over this year? What we've come to the closure point with the 9 years after the original event. Now we're beginning the new cycle. What has changed, and what is that new cycle looking like?
So you're asking us to premonite.
I'm asking you to look forward, remote view, whatever it is you're doing, and tell me where we're going to be. And this can come from your heart, or it can come from your imagination, or from your guides, or whatever.
No,
what's our new
Gary
cycle going to look like?
All right, if Gary and Inner haven't conjectured yet, just to make it simple and easy, it's not going to be where we are right now. I will say that that's pretty obvious. The awareness of a lot of people are going to be opened up, and there's going to be a lot of pressure, I feel, on governments and the banking system and the insurance industry and basically the powers that be. I'm going to be feeling a lot of pressure, and I can see a social shifting in regards to the perception of these powers within the general society.
I think that's already going on.
Even more so, though. It's...
Well, in answer to your question, Ketter, I'm going to come back with another question. I know we only got 5 minutes, and I'm going to say this really quickly. I'm going to answer your question with a question. And that is, let's look for a second. Either we've created a world that is beautiful, marvelous, wonderful, loving, magical, infinite, worthy of us, or we haven't. And if we haven't, when does now sound like a good time for you? Because we have the power to do that.
I like the way you said
cute.
That. A little slide of mouth there.
Yep.
I like that one. My own take on that one is that we will have already passed through those things that was just named. That we are going to be in a phase where we are very strongly biasing the new direction. And the new direction being more community-centered, being more socially responsible. Big government's gone away. Big business has gone away. I think that we will be on the cusp, if not already past it.
Mm-hmm. I see the last remnants collapsing all the way down to the ground, and it needs to.
It needs to.
Rebuild. Yeah. And then get built on a better foundation. You know, and I see the monetary system completely going away, and people no longer going there. Period.
It has to. We need to figure out what to do in the interim.
Exactly.
Just real brief Anunnaki note on this one. When they look at what happened with 9/11 and so many of the other events, they are reminded of what happened to them when they had their civil war, because they were pulling this sort of stuff on each other all the time. So it's not new. We're rehashing their karma, and they are very, very much aware of this. So that while they can't give us advice because they don't feel that their solution was necessarily all that great, they're rather cheering us on, hoping that we'll do better than they did. So just a little grounding note there is that we have the opportunity. This is another one of those things where we have the opportunity to show other races, other groups out there that, you know, we've got something special going on here. And to act accordingly.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to send this off, I think, close the show out with a reflection song. And it is, Where Are We Today by Lily Sparks.
Perfect.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, Ketter. Thanks, everyone.
Daytime viewing, shadowed by a constant fall. Day dawn to dusk now, undefined. A blast of